this stuff. I'm the pastor. I have stuff I have to say to you, okay? So I want to talk about the church's new normal. I want to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, the first chapter, we read, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, talking about Jesus, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's Jesus' words, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then the next chapter in Acts, after the power of God, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon those people, Peter stood up and preached. And as he was winding this up, he said, the promise is for you, your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And he was talking about, they had asked him, what is this? And he is identifying that. So this is really, really exciting. That this promise is for you, it's for me. If you've been called by God to know Jesus Christ, this promise is for you. Well, maybe not. I mean, it's for all of us except you, because you're not worthy. And that comes to our minds. If we are looking to God for a gift, we want to earn it. That's called legalism, and it is as natural to humans as breathing, it seems to me. So, if you are a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you're not a tongues talker now and are available to become one in your prayer life, get over this worthy business, because you're not. And you see, if we're talking about being worthy, then let's don't call it a gift from God, because it's a wage, it's a payment. Well, on our goodness scale, he doesn't owe us much, does he? So you're not worthy, and it's a gift of God. It's like eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, gift. Did you do that to your kids? You'd give them good gifts if they were good? Probably, because it's just kind of natural that we do that. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a home where every once in a while, a gift would show up out of the blue. I had no clue it was coming. I'm sure I was not being especially good the previous 6 months. I got two bicycles in my childhood, the best my dad could buy. He grew up in the middle of the Depression. The Depression. Study it. It'll impress you with how oppressed this economy was in the United States. So he knew about being poor. And he always had a reasonable salary and reasonable cash flow. And so his little boy got this bicycle. He picked me up in the second grade from school. I always walked home. It was just 3 or 4 blocks. It wasn't 2 miles uphill. It was just, as a matter of fact, it was flat. The name of the town was Level Land. And he picked me up from school and parked in the living room of our house was this shiny new bike, the best he could buy. Well, that makes it easier for me to say God can give stuff. As unworthy as I am or unexpected as it is, God just does stuff like that. Now, if you had a stingy dad or no dad, or maybe some of you had been better off if you'd had no dad, I don't know. The Holy Spirit will heal your hearts. One of the things that goes on in this church is that the inadequacies of our parents, and all of our parents have them, and we parents have them, inadequacies. And if your kids are grown, you look back and you'd say, if I had that to do over again, I would do it this way, not the way I did it. And I don't have very many regrets. Our girls were so easy and so good, and they have such a great mom that I kind of got by almost scot-free. But I blew it a couple of times, and it's like, I wouldn't do it that way. However, the Lord will heal even my daughters. He will heal your kids. He will heal your parents' kids because he's a healer. And that's what he does here. He wants you to be whole, and he wants you to move into this new normal. So hallelujah. So let's get over this worthy business. And then when you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the third baptism, as we taught last week, the spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ, the water baptism, the physical outward sign, along with some other things. It includes being baptized into water as a picture of dying, being buried, and raised to new life in Jesus. And then Jesus himself taking us and dipping us in the Holy Spirit. So this is, but the Holy Spirit will not force himself upon you. You need to receive him. You need to say, okay, God, here I am. Let's do it. Please fill me, and he will. Number one, in response to that, we are going to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Okay? We're going to ask. Who gets the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Those who ask. He gives the Spirit. When you are asking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, can you get a demon? Now, this was taught by very good churches and church people 100 years ago when people started speaking in tongues and wanted everybody to speak in tongues. And there were denominations that said, and then a few of them made the mistake of writing into their doctrinal statements, tongues are of the devil. My maternal grandfather was the pastor of First Blank Church in Wichita Falls, Texas. Got messing around with these revivals and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Promptly got churched, or defrocked, I think is the correct term. And was at the First General Council of the Assemblies of God, which 1 year from last month will be 100 years ago. And he went back to Wichita Falls and started First Assembly of God Church. The deal is very, very simple. You dads, as imperfect as you are, if your kid asks for fish, I'll give him a snake, and you're about half rotten. He asks for an egg, you don't give him a scorpion, and you are about half rotten. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit? That's the only, you want to be protected from demonic presence, ask for the Holy Spirit. That's the only spirit you can get when you're asking the Father for the Holy Spirit. Read it. Is that what it says? Jesus does this contrast, a very, very common thing in the Hebrew literature and teaching. And it's a duplet. Fish snake, egg scorpion, no. Okay? How much more? Even though you're like you are, you do the good stuff, how much more? So you're protected. You want to be protected from demonic presence? Ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. It's the only one you can get. And when you come to the Lord and ask him and are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the first thing you're going to do is speak in tongues. Now, tongues are the rub. If we didn't talk about tongues, everybody would say, sign me up for that. I need more God, but I don't want to speak in tongues. I've had people say that. I don't want to speak in tongues. Well, I don't blame them. It's weird. It is weird. And the Lord chose this for several reasons. I'm sure many of them known only to him. But one of the things is that you have to give up control of your tongue, which is the hardest thing to give up control of, the scripture teaches us. It's an unruly member. Anybody can control this. He is full grown and mature. It's what James says. Scripture teaches that, okay? You have to give up the control of that, but you still speak the words yourself. And you don't know what they mean. And perhaps no one in the room knows what they mean. Tell me that's sensible. It freaks out us Westerners. The people with a little more of a spiritual understanding of the universe would be a little more comfortable with this, but not comfortable. And the Lord chose it because if you're willing, listen to me carefully, if you're willing to let the Spirit guide what you say, and you don't know what it is, but you're trusting God to do this, that is the model of how we're supposed to live our life. That's the new normal. We're not in control of ourselves. The Spirit is guiding us. And we do it not fully understanding. And others around us may not fully understand. If it's in line with the scripture, you do it. And that's normal. Not in my life, thank you very much. I have my little program. I need a routine. So I get up before the rest of the family, unless they get up really, really early. And I do my little Greek reading, and I do my little praying, and then I get my day started. And that's not wrong, okay? I'm not saying the Lord will throw... But my need for order is just that way. I'm willing to give up sleep to have order in my life. Now, some of you are not. I wake up so slow, I need till noon before I have my devotional. And that's okay if that's the way your body is geared. There are brains that are like that. I read a book the other day on brain, and it's really interesting. There are really night people. There are really morning people. The rest of us kind of fall in the middle. And then the book said this one thing. It's my favorite line in the whole book. It says, but at 3 p.m., everybody flatlines. But you already knew that. But at any rate, this thing of the power of God showing us what to do, this is what the tongues are about. And tongues are a hassle. And we could just have so many more friends in the church world if we didn't say, you know, if you haven't spoken in tongues, you haven't received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I think there are people that have gotten anointings that are far beyond their salvation, but they can't speak in tongues because it's just never been done and it's just been choked off. In their circles, you just don't do this. On the other hand, there are a lot of people that are used to be like that are saying that's fine. I was listening to Rick Warren some years ago, and he was teaching about the gifts of the Spirit, and he said, "Now we're not going to have tongues in our public services because we're seeker friendly or seeker sensitive, whatever term he used." And so his bunch and he—I don't know about himself. But the bunch of which he is a member and from which he sprang have been death on that. Matter of fact, they used to really give us a bad time about 40 years ago. I remember they would just kind of go, you know, and just screwing everything down tightly. But the Holy Spirit has a way of getting in. And so then you get somebody that with the influence of this guy who is not saying it's wrong, don't do it. He says, we're not going to have it in our services. Don't speak out in tongues in our service. Don't do that because we're not going to have that because that'll freak out our guests. Now, if you're our guest, you may hear somebody speak in tongues and you may freak out. And we hate that you feel afraid, but it's very, very real in the scripture. And every time that that the details are given when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Scripture. They spoke in tongues first. It's the first physical. It doesn't have to do with down the line. It doesn't have to do it spoke in tongues and prophesied. It just has to do that shows up every time the details are given and it's first. Okay? And next week, one of the questions that we will be addressing is the difference between the gift of tongues and this tongue that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to address that this morning. By the way, I've got enough time for a few more questions if you want to get them to me. But the most important thing is that we just say, God, I need you. I want you. I want the full, whole deal. I need this power to witness. I need all of the other stuff that the Holy Spirit does in my life. Baptize me, please. And Jesus will take you and you'll go ka-chunk under and he'll pull you up and you won't be the same. And you'll be equipped to enter into the new normal. Here's what we're going to do. In a few minutes, I'm going to invite another group or two for prayer, and I'm going to invite those of you who want to be baptized in the Spirit today to come, and God's going to do that today in our prayer time as we just pray for you. Just lay hands on and God does it. That's the scriptural pattern. You look in the Scripture, and that's the way they did it. You don't have to have hands laid on you, but it doesn't hurt if the people are doing it correctly. And so we're going to go back to this scripture here in Luke 11, and we're going to ask. Now, first of all, if there's some sin that you're hanging on to, it's not as if God doesn't forgive your sin and have a continual cleansing of your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you belong to him, that goes on. So that if you yelled at your kids coming to church, God is not going to send you to hell. If you fall over with a heart attack or fall and bump your head on a rock, and we have your service this week, you won't go to hell. Okay, don't holler at your kids or your wife, because then if you do it correctly, you're going to have to go back and apologize to them, and that's embarrassing. So save yourself that and don't do that. But if you do it, don't plan on going to hell. But first of all, let's just check it, because our conscience needs to be clear. A clear conscience is invaluable in God's kingdom. As a matter of fact, it just doesn't work well if you're holding some sin against yourself. You need to clear the conscience. People talk about being re-baptized in water. If you have this question, I don't know if I need to be baptized. I was baptized and I had a legitimate conversion experience when I was a kid and I was baptized and then I just went nuts. Should I be baptized again? If there's any question, yes, it answers the demand of a good conscience, the scripture says. Baptism does. Water baptism. I did it. I advocate it. The enemy would still like to accuse me. I say, tough, buddy. I've been baptized 3 times, so just get over it. You know, it's just like I can answer that defiled conscience thing. The second thing, doctrinally, I can't make a case for being rebaptized. This is about your conscience. It's not. I don't know that that's doctrinally correct, but I know that I sure did shut the door on one way that Satan would love to accuse me and kick me in the head. So we're going to say, okay, all sins forgiven. And if there's something that you're hanging on to, just ask the Lord to forgive you, turn it loose. And then second, we're going to say, okay, now just ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. And if you don't just start saying it right away, I'm going to say, repeat after me. Father, baptize me in the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. And then I'm going to say, or whoever's praying with you is going to say, okay, we've asked. Let's just start thanking God Let's just start thanking God for doing this. If I'm the one praying for you, I'm going to put my hand on your head, and I'm going to pray that God will do it right now. And then I'm going to say something like, now, keep thanking him, but don't make it be English. And that's really a weird statement. Because if you know Spanish or some other foreign language, that doesn't mean switch to that. That means don't force the thing, because you can. I've seen us do it. Your jaw gets tight and you say, thank you, Jesus. You know, because I'm not going to turn loose of my tongue. I don't want to sound like so-and-so over here or like you do, Pastor. I know. So you're going to have to turn loose of that and make the sounds. And it might be as sophisticated as la-la-la. But the Holy Spirit will give you something to say, and you can say it, and that will be the outward sign of Jesus having gone and submerged you, immersed you in the Holy Spirit. And then there are many other things that follow. You can prophesy. Many people just cry like crazy. Some people just laugh. They just chuckle. We were talking about this morning in our prayer circle, we were talking about during the Pensacola revival, it was probably in the winter, I think February of 96, and there were like 55 of us from this congregation there that weekend, and the power of God was so thick, it was amazing. But Eunice and I had left Saturday to go to a wedding of some dear friends, two or three hours east of there in Florida, and they begin to, the pastor, who's a dear friend, asked me to stay over and preach Sunday morning, and we were going to go back to Pensacola and be with you all. And I said, I'll be glad to preach. Well, the power of God fell. So he said, could you stay and preach tonight? I said, sure. So that night, the entire youth group was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they were sitting over here, let's see, in that sanctuary. They were sitting right over here in the altar area in a circle, a big circle around that area. And they'd all been speaking in tongues, and they were just kind of giggling. It was the cutest thing. And we've heard of laughing in the Spirit. And it wasn't some abrasive, raucous sound. It was... It was that, and it was so precious and so special. I've seen that. I've seen people get this incredible look of peace, and it's like the peace of the universe has just settled and focused a center into their heart. But they all speak in tongues. And so if none of those other things happen to you, I've also seen people get up and run, so watch yourself. You may be a runner. But it doesn't matter, see, because it is God, and we're not going to do something stupid because we're way too cool for that, okay? Aren't we? Now, the tongues thing is a hard deal, and I see it as a matter of faith. If you believe God is safe and you can say what the Holy Spirit is giving you to say, and it's okay, it's kind of like walking on water. Great big storm on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are out in the boat by themselves. Jesus comes on these waves, which are just really tearing up things. He comes walking out on the water. Peter sees him and says, if it's you, tell me to come to you. So Jesus says, come on. You know what Peter did? He turned around and sat down on the edge of that boat and swung his legs over the edge of that boat, and he dropped off what we would think into the water. It happened to be onto. He got out of the boat. That still amazes me. I know he takes a lot of flack for sinking. Honey, he and Jesus are the only two I know of that's walked on water. And that was a huge step of faith. So when we start saying, now don't make it be English, just go ahead and praise God, but say whatever sound comes, you'll have to swing your legs around and put them out on the water side of the boat and scoot your little self down, and it'll be onto the water. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for hearing us. I thank you for helping us.